Okay, welcome back to this next module where we're going to take a deeper dive into how we work with toxic relationships or relationships that are negative in nature, that are draining in nature. How do we address them? How do we eliminate them? Or how do we fix them? So most people that we find might be dragging us down or sucking the life out of us, right? We all have people like that in our lives, and having too many people like that in our lives really holds us back from feeling healthy, secure, grounded, like we're able to move our life forward in the way that we want. And the quality of your life is determined by the people who are closest to you. So if you think about your top five relationships in your life, I don't mean just romantic relationships, I mean the people with whom that you relate to the most frequently, think about how those people live their lives. Are they living their lives with drama and crisis after crisis? Or are they living their lives with excitement and passion and feeling empowered, right? And think about those five people, right? Maybe it's your spouse or your parents or a sibling or best friend or close coworkers. You know, how are they living and how is that affecting your life in particular, right? How much drama or peace or passion the people around you have actually affects your ability and how you grow and how you live peacefully. So if you have toxic relationships in your life, you can't have successful, meaningful change. It would be like asking a plant or a nice vegetable that you planted in your garden to grow when the soil is actually contaminated, right? That plant, no matter how strong and beautiful the seed is, can't actually grow in the ground that is contaminated and that's not being watered properly, right? And we have lots of things we tell ourselves when it comes to our own life about why things can't change. So we really today want to look at these specific conditions and the relationships you surround yourselves with to look at how those may be enhancing or holding you back. I mean, if you're a firefighter listening to this, and if you were putting your team together for who's going out on a call, right, making the shift exactly how you want it to be, where you know, like, I can depend on that person and that person, and I know that person has my back, right? You want to think about it in this way. You want to get to that point where I can handle everything if these people are on my truck today or if these people are on the incident today, right? Who would you put on your shift, right? Who would you take off the shift, right? Who would you kick off, right? You want to actually look at your life in this same way. There's no way you can execute your life properly if you have people dragging you down. So it may be that you might have to let some relationships go and slide. And sometimes that can be really hard. And sometimes there's relationships that definitely need addressing. So we're going to talk about that in this module. So if you think about a basketball team, right? And they're all working hard to support each other in being the best so that the team can win. If you have people on your team that are constantly saying, hey, your shots suck, or something like, why do you keep going that way instead of that guy? Don't you know that every time you walk that direction or you try to shoot from that angle, you fuck up, right? Then it's really impossible with that kind of voice on your team to all move together towards a winning game, right? And you get, or even those voices get you psyched out, right? You're like, you always just anticipate, oh, that guy's always going to say something about how my shots suck, right? And this is how you want to think about your life in the same way. Who gets to go on incidents with you? Who gets to play the game with you? If you have people in your life that are dead weight, that are dragging you down, that are prohibiting you from moving forward in a meaningful or successful way, or that are keeping you from having the life you want, then your goals are simply not going to happen. And it's not enough to say, oh, it's that person's fault that I can't have X, Y, or Z. That this is not the time or space to be saying that. Or that person is always so X, Y, Z, so I can't do what I want. No, this is a time to look inward, to take responsibility for the messages you let in, for the people that you do let into your life. And taking charge of that, taking ownership of your own life and your own relationships. It's not enough all the time to just be solo, right? You have to have other people that are have your back when times are tough. So I want to tell you a story about actually a famous Navy jet pilot who served in Vietnam. His name was Charlie Plum. And he actually has an amazing story about his journey that I think illustrates this concept really well. So Charlie flew 74 consecutive successful combat missions. And on his 75th mission, however, his F-4 Phantom fighter plane was shot down by a surface-to-air missile. Right? The plane exploded. His plane was completely exploded. He ejected. There was an explosion of over 12,000 pounds of jet fuel. It flipped the plane topsy-turvy, end over end, and it looked like he was going to die, right? And it was headed downward into the rice paddy below, and he was forced to eject. And the only thing between him and imminent death was his parachute that he prayed would open, because when he had to eject himself, he was very close to the ground, and it was his only shot to live, okay? So he finally felt the opening shock of the parachute deploy. And during the 90 seconds of descent, during that time, he was also shot at by the enemy troops, right? So he's managed to survive this plane explosion and the plane going down. He's left in the air, quite vulnerable to being shot, and he's getting shot at. Right? And he remembers saying, you know, the way he explains that, he says, like, really, the audacity of this enemy, really, like, they just knocked down my multi-million dollar airplane, and now they're trying to kill me while I'm in the air. So, miraculously, Charlie made it down to the ground alive. But as soon as he got there, he was captured by the enemy, and he spent over 2,100 brutal days as a prisoner of war in a communist Vietnamese prison camp. He managed to survive, right? So he has an amazing story. He managed to survive being tortured, being held in as a POA. And many, many years after he was back, after he was repatriated, Charlie and his wife were sitting together in a little restaurant in Kansas City. And two tables over in this little restaurant, there's this guy Charlie noticed that kept looking at him and just kept looking at him. And Charlie was like, why is this guy looking at me? And Charlie would look back, and he didn't recognize him, so he didn't know what this guy's deal was. And he just kept catching this guy staring at him. And finally, the guy stood up and he walked over to Charlie's table and he pointed at him with this kind of stern look. And he said, hey, you're Captain Plum. And Charlie looked at him and said, well, yeah, I am Captain Plum. And the guy said, you're that guy. You flew jet fighters over Vietnam. You're a fighter pilot. And he was like, yeah, I did do that. And the guy goes, yeah, you launched the aircraft from the carrier Kitty Hawk, and you parachuted into enemy territory, and you spent 6 years as a prisoner of war. And at this point, Charlie's completely dumbfounded. I mean, he's in the middle of this restaurant in Kansas City. He doesn't know this guy from Adam. And Charlie looked up at the guy and said, how in the world do you know that? And the man laughed and he smiled and he said, because I'm the one that packed your parachute. And in this moment, Charlie said he was completely dumbfounded and completely speechless. And the man grabbed Charlie's hand and he pumped his arm, like he shook his hand really hard, and he said, I guess it worked. And then he walked off. Right? He was saying that he guessed the parachute worked, and then he walked off, and he was like, you know, nice to meet you, see you later. So when Charlie explains the story, he talks about how that night he lays awake. He can't stop thinking about this guy and how he met the person, and all the times that he had walked through the ship and not even really paid attention to the guy below the decks who was, you know, painstakingly folding and laying out parachutes and packing for all the men. And he was thinking how many times he's walked past this guy in his life on that aircraft carrier without even saying a word to him. And what Charlie realized, and the more and more he thought about this guy, was that if his chute hadn't worked, if that guy hadn't packed his parachute correctly, accurately, folded it in the right way so that it would deploy in the exact right way, he wouldn't be alive. He wouldn't have been able to, number one, hit the ground alive, and number two, survive everything he had to go through in order to be sitting in this nice restaurant years later with his wife. And he couldn't stop thinking about it. And he also thought about, you know, how many hours that sailor had put in on that long table in the bottom of the ship, carefully weaving the shrouds and folding the silks of each chute and holding in his hand each time the fate of someone as he packed the parachute. So now when Plum talks about his experiences, he really emphasizes that we all think about who is packing your parachute. Who has done something that helped make your day better, safer, easier, more pleasant? And on the flip side, whose parachute are you packing, right? And just recognizing this right away. Each of us are touched by individuals who provide what we need in order to make it through a day. Some help us inadvertently, right? And some are very intentionally working at packing our parachute. And we all need several kinds of parachutes, right? It's not just the live or die, right? Plum talks about how he needed many different kinds of parachutes when his plane was shot down over that enemy territory. He needed a physical parachute. He needed a mental parachute. He needed an emotional parachute. And he needed a spiritual parachute. And he called on all of these supports before he was able to reach safety. And sometimes in the daily challenges that life gives us, we miss what is really important, right? We miss to even perhaps notice who's packing our parachute by saying hello, please, thank you, congratulations, looking that person full on in the face without just kind of rushing past them. And so as you go through your day, I want you to think about who's packing your parachute, thank them for packing your parachute, and really think about who's on your team here packing your parachute? Who are the people down in the lower level of the aircraft carrier packing your parachute? Do you want them packing your parachute or not? Right? Because it really, the only way Charlie could survive his 6 years of POA was by having a secure, good parachute. And the other parachutes that he mentions, right? The emotional, physical, spiritual, mental parachutes. And that's how he's able to live well into his old age and survive a horrific experience. For instance, in this example of Charlie's life, if the commander on that Navy ship had noticed that there was somebody packing parachutes that wasn't quite all that good, and they kept making small but deadly mistakes, right? It wouldn't even take a lot to mess up how that parachute is packed and therefore affect whether or not it deploys effectively, right? So you have to look at who is packing your parachute, and if there's someone even making small mistakes and your parachute can't deploy, right, that's a big deal. So we want to really start looking at who it is in your life and how your life moves forward, because there will always be times where you're going to need to deploy a parachute. There are going to be times when life is hard. There are going to be times where you're faced with challenges. There are going to be times when perhaps it's a bad call if you're a first responder listening to this, or a tough relationship situation, and you absolutely have to rely on the people around you. So you want to make sure that who you have around you is healthy and contributing to your life rather than dragging you down. So related to this, I want to talk a little bit about a concept called human shielding. And that's when you're using an excuse of a human who doesn't let us do what we want, like the parents who told us that we couldn't do certain things, that we couldn't ride a motorcycle, as kind of a shackle that holds you back. You know, there's an example of elephants who are raised in captivity, or that are raised with shackles around their leg, and they get used to that shackle almost so much that if you take that shackle off, the elephant doesn't actually go anywhere because it still thinks it's limited, right? And you can think about your mind in that same way. Right? And sometimes we have people in our lives that we use as our human shield. We might say something like, my spouse would never let me do that, right? And that's using your spouse as a human shield. There are people's opinions who we care about, right? Sometimes that's important, but oftentimes it's more important to tune in to what you really want and need in a responsible way, right? Not in an egoistic, aggressive way, right? But there's people we all have in our life that we don't want to disappoint, or we're afraid might judge us if we do something, or, you know, we get nervous if we don't make them happy, right? So people who maybe are not even on our same level of expertise, but that we listen to or hold us back in some way. So let's start looking at this in a very specific exercise. So I want you to take out your pen and your paper. Hopefully you have a notebook or a journal by now to do all these exercises. And we're going to start with looking at the relationships in your life. Okay, and on that piece of paper, I want you to put one by one all the people in your life. We're going to do an inventory of your relationships. Right? So it might be your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister. Someone, you know, that you see regularly at work. Your children, your friends, every person, one by one. Doesn't necessarily have to be someone you spend time with. We still relate to people, even that aren't around us, or people that we don't talk to as often. We still carry energy with those people. So make a list of everyone in your sphere, whether you spend time with them, or you think about them, or if they've had some influence on your life. Even people you feel like aren't really important. But I want you to make a list of everybody you come across on average in your life, in your weekly, monthly, everyday occurrences. They don't have to be people that you see very often. It could be people that live far away that you have some sort of relationship with, good or bad. Just keep making a list of all of these people. I'm going to stop talking while you can work and you can listen to the music as you make your list. Okay, and so by now you should have some sort of inventory of your relationship, of all the relationships in your life. And for this next phase of this exercise, I want you to go through your list and with every single person, do a gut check. How does this person feel to you? Does this person give you energy, or does this person suck your energy? Do they do a little bit of both? Do they give energy, or do they take energy away from you? When you just look at their name and think about how you relate to them, and does it feel giving, or does it feel like it's sucking energy away from you? Or does it do a little bit of both? Sometimes it's mixed. So I want you to go through your entire list again, and next to each person's name, I want you to write either give or take, or give and suck. Okay? So start again and look at your list and give everyone a label. Okay, if you need some more time to finish up determining who's a giver or a taker, who's sucking your energy, who's giving you energy, please make sure that you finish that now before we move on to the next exercise. So if you haven't finished giving everybody a label, finish that up now and then come on back. And if you have finished up, I want you to start thinking about yourself on a lifeboat. Right? This is a lifeboat that if it is not set up correctly, if there's too many people on that boat, or if it's filled with people that are super heavy or are bringing too much luggage with them, then that boat sinks and you all die. Okay, so I don't mean to be dramatic, but let's think about yourself on a lifeboat. All the people that are giving you energy are automatically allowed to be on that boat. There's enough, the boat is safe enough to support them and you, but you can only accept some other people onto the boat, and you can only have 100 pounds more that you can accept. So I want you to look at your list of all the people that you labeled as sucking or draining your energy. And now we have to decide who gets on your boat or not. So I want you to divvy up your 100 pounds. that extra 100 pounds you're allowed to let onto your boat. And I want you to divvy up when you look at those people that are either doing both, sucking and giving, or just sucking your energy. I want you to imagine how heavy are they? All those people need to add up to 100, right? Because you only have 100 pounds you're allowed to get on your boat. So I want you to divvy up how heavy, if there's one person who you know just drains the heck out of you, they might account for more pounds, right? So they might account for 40 or 50 pounds, or they might account for 15 or 10. I want you to look at all the people in your life that are sucking energy on your list or that are doing a little bit of both, and I want you to divvy up the pounds in which of how much energy that they take from you, right? So if there are people that are constantly draining you, they're going to get a heavier weight associated with them. All right, so go ahead and do that now as well. Basically, your whole list needs to add up to 100 pounds. You're only allotted 100 pounds. So when you think about the emotional weight of that person, how heavy it feels to you, I want you to give them, assign them a weight. And then look at the next person. Your boat's not going to survive with all these people on it. You'll sink out at sea. No one will find you. No one will save you. So we really have to, just like an airplane measures every piece of luggage getting onto that airplane, it weighs to make sure that that airplane is the appropriate weight to keep everyone healthy. That's what we're doing. And now we've got to assign these people weights. This is how much of your life force is being sucked by these negative people. And again, stick to your gut. Don't think too much about this. By the end, everyone adds up to 100. Okay, have you allotted your weight to all these negative people? Okay, now I want you to look at that list, and I want you to look at the three people who are the heaviest, the three people who are sucking the most of your energy. These are like your top three energy vampires. These are the ones that if you let them on the boat, you're for sure sunk, right? The three people that are the heaviest emotionally for you. And I want you to ask yourself at this moment in time, do I need to let them go or do I need to improve the relationship? This isn't always about just throwing people off the ship and not letting them on. This takes also a real hard look at what you're doing, because I guarantee you there's some responsibility of yours in this scenario. Even when we have big energy vampires, we're still contributing to it in some way, whether it's just that we're allowing ourselves those people in our lives. So I want you to look at your list. The three people that are the heaviest. Just those three, not everybody. Look at those three. One by one. Do you need to improve that relationship or do you need to let it go? This isn't a thinking. This is really on a very intuitive gut level. right? You now have a list of people that are sucking your energy and giving you energy, and you've ranked them, right? The percentage, you've ranked them with how heavy they are, the percentage of weight that they have in your lifeboat. You've identified the top three, maybe four, who are dragging this boat down that will not survive. This boat will not make it to land if these people are on it. And you have your gut feelings now about if you need to let those people go or if you need to improve the relationship, right? I want you to imagine that you're wanting to build a tall building, okay? This is the building of your life. This is your success, your financial security, your love relationships, your security in your job. This is the life that you want to live, and it's a tall building. And if you want to build a really tall building, you have to have a very strong foundation. And not just strong, it has to be wide, right? The wider and sturdier it is, the higher your building can go, right? And relationships, if they're sucking you dry, you can't build a wide foundation. If you wanted to climb a mountain and you had a 300-pound backpack, it'd be impossible for you to take a step. You'd be exhausted. If you wanted to get this lifeboat to shore and you had all this dead weight dragging it in to the point where the boat is sinking, you're done, right? So you have to start removing some of the things that are dragging us down so that you can climb easier, so that boat can move to shore. And imagine if you had all this toxicity in your life removed, how much more powerful you would be to go out and have the life that you want. How much less stress you would have on a daily basis. Sometimes this is really hard. Sometimes it requires us to take a very hard and deep look at who we allow in our lives, the relationships that we continue to tolerate. Not about blaming. This is not about blaming. This is not about criticizing other people, right? This is about genuinely and lovingly looking at who's in your boat and looking at who you need to cut loose. In my own life, I've had to do this, and it's been extremely challenging. Friendships I've had to let go, people I have had to reprioritize because I realized, in fact, they were dragging me down. They were holding me back from having a business that I wanted, from being the person I wanted to be in the world. That it was the stress that it took to maintain those relationships, the times where I felt irritated or like I had to constantly walk on eggshells around that person, or there was repetitive conflict that just never got resolved no matter how hard I tried. Sometimes it took a very hard call in that I had to let relationships go. In a particular relationship, the relationship I had with my children's father, it meant that I ended up dissolving that relationship forever because of this process, because I realized that it was holding me back. And it doesn't mean that these people still aren't important to me, that I still don't care about these people, these relationships that I've had to let go, but it does mean that they don't get to energetically have a say in how I move my life forward. I've identified the people that were continually stressing me out and dragging me down and putting boundaries around those relationships. Sometimes they were hard boundaries. So I want you to look at the three people that you have, three or four, and think about if you've decided that you're not letting them go completely, that you want to improve that relationship, we're going to talk about exactly how to do that. Having these types of conversations can be very challenging, and a lot of the times the people that I'm working with aren't really sure the words to use, how to bring it up, what to say, especially how to do this proactively and with compassion and in a way that's not going to throw you off or get the other person defensive. So the first types of things you're going to do is you're going to be upfront. You're going to be proactive. For example, if this is with your significant other, you might say, Hi, Jane. I'd love to have a conversation with you because I really want to improve our relationship. And I'd love to brainstorm with you how we can make our relationship even better. Right? So number one, that's how you're going to say something like that. And then you're going to say, when's a good time to talk? Or when can we go for a walk? Right? Walking with somebody or going on a drive with someone, that forward motion can be extremely helpful rather than that face-to-face, sit down, everyone's stuck in a chair or looking across each other from a table. Right? So you're going to say, you know, I'd like to brainstorm together. You're not saying you're quitting. You're not saying there's a big problem in our relationship. You're not saying I want to end this relationship. You're saying I really want to get your opinion on how we can work together to make our relationship better. So number one, you need to get the agreement to actually sitting down to have that conversation. Now, there have been times where I've tried to do this or I've helped other people try to do this and that other person simply is not receptive, simply says, no, that's stupid, or they shoot it down or whatever way. And then you have some different decision making to do. But we're going to assume for the purpose of this that you're going to say, honey, I'd love to sit down and brainstorm ways we can improve our relationship. This is with the people that maybe are the top drags for your boat, right? So you have that agreement. Number one, you get that agreement. Number two, you have a very short conversation, okay? I don't mean 10 minutes. I mean no more than 45 minutes. Usually, people don't have the attention span, the emotional resources to have a really kind of long, serious conversation like that. Do it while you're taking a walk is a million times better. For example, if you're going to talk to your boss or your supervisor, don't do it in their office where they already feel perhaps everyone has what we call anchors, right? We just know that, oh, when I'm in my office, right, a boss might be in their office feeling powerful or angry or irritated. You want to kind of get them out of their environment, right? Our brains can breathe more and have more resources available to us when we're out of our environment, right? You want to kind of have a clean slate. So you want to think about where that conversation is happening. You're not face-to-face. You're side-by-side in a car, walking. That's ideal. And you're also in a space where you're not going to get distracted or where there's no one else listening. So you're not having a conversation when kids are running through the room or, you know, in the middle of a hallway where you may, someone may walk past you or interrupt you in any way. You want to make sure it's a private time and protected time. Yes, on a walk, of course, there can be interruptions, but you're not going on a walk while the kids are bike riding in front of you, for example. And this is what you do. You're not going after them to criticize or directly say, hey, I did this exercise and you're kind of a drag and I really want to improve our relationship. Otherwise, I might have to cut you out. That's not what we're doing. You already know that. That's for your information, okay? But you're going to basically go to them and say, hey, I've been thinking a lot about our relationship and I'd love to ask you, what are some of the most important things that you need from me right now so that we can improve our relationship, so that we can be a happy couple, so that I can be the best employee I can be or whoever this is, right? If I could provide you with those three things, what would they be and specifically? Right? You have to be specific here. It can't be your wife saying, I need you to get happy. No, what does that mean? Okay, maybe she needs you to go to the gym more often, or maybe she needs you to have more time to yourself. I mean, who knows? It could be any number of things, but you want it to be very specific. And you want them to be honest, so you've got to allow them to be honest. And you will also have to curb your own defensiveness if you hear something that you don't like or don't agree to, right? Your job is to ask for specifics and to not be reactive, even if you feel a jab. Okay. So, and because also you will have a chance to ask that person for what you need as well. Right. And you say to them, I want you to be more supportive, right? If they give some sort of vague answer like that, it's like, okay, great. Well, what does that mean? Can you give me some examples of how or when I can be supportive? Right. And then you have to not be defensive, and you basically create a plan for each of the three specific needs that they've asked. So you've said, hey, can we brainstorm? I want to improve our relationship. Then when you're having this conversation, they've agreed, right? And then you agree to a time and place. Then you have this conversation of saying, you know, I've been thinking about how you want to improve, how I want to really make sure we have the best relationship we can. And I want to ask you, what are the three things that you need from me? And then you get really specific, right? And you make notes if you can. When they explain something to you, you say, thank you, I really appreciate you sharing that, right? And if it's something you can provide, agree, right? Tell them, okay, great, I agree to that. If it's something you know you can't provide, oh, well, I need you to come home every night at 6 o'clock and make dinner because I've been at home with the kids all day, and you absolutely know that it's just not possible, then don't agree to it, right? If it's something you can't provide because it goes against your values, for example, then you have to discuss that further so that you can agree on something else, okay? And then once you get their three, then you say, okay, great. You know, I really appreciate this conversation. And here are the three things that I would really like in order to improve our relationship. And you couch it in these kinds of phrases. You know what? It would be amazing that every night when I come home, if I just had 15 minutes to myself to unwind, to change clothes, to have some quiet downtime before I jump in with house responsibilities, right? If something like that. You want to say it in a positive way. Say, okay, like, it would be amazing if, or I would really need, you know, half of Saturday, every Saturday morning to go do this hike that I love or this bike ride that I love. And then write it down for both of you, right? And just say something like, maybe let's agree to do this for the next 2 weeks and then come back together and see how it went. And then here's the deal. Your job, right, because it's you wanting to improve this relationship, is not to take stock on whether or not they're doing their job or not, is to fulfill your end of that agreement as much as possible. Their job is to do that too, but we want to make sure that you meet their checkpoints, right? And if they don't, then we can deal with that at another time, right? And when you do have a chance to come back together to reevaluate, you can say, am I doing what you asked for? Am I providing it? I want to make sure I'm doing it right. Am I really providing you the support that you're asking for in the way that you asked for it? Having these kinds of open, honest communications with the people that you have relationships with, you can do this with coworkers, you can do this with supervisors, right? It will transform your relationships. It doesn't always mean that it works forever, but you know, it can really start to change things, open the lines of communication, it's basically kind of uncovers all these secret resentments that we often carry around because people aren't doing what we need them to, and they're not meeting our needs, or we're not meeting their needs, so they're upset with us in some way. It's getting all that stuff on the table and having established checkpoints of when you come together and go, how am I going? What do you need? Okay, I can do X, Y, and Z. How about this? And then you guys have this exchange about needs and helping each other, supporting each other in improving the relationship together. So sometimes, right, this can be challenging. Right? And sometimes there are times where we need to troubleshoot a conversation that's gone awry. Now, in the modules prior to this, you've heard me talk a lot about using I statements and reducing defensiveness. And this is a place when you're having conversations about needs that it's easy to feel triggered, attacked, criticized, and you really have to put that all on the back burner when you're having these conversations, right? So you have to say what you need, and sometimes you have to say what's going to happen when they don't stop criticizing you, for example, when they don't do what you've asked them. And usually this is only in extreme circumstances when someone is blatantly disrespecting what you've asked for them in a really detrimental way. So if you've asked them to stop criticizing you and you've used I statements, things like, you know, I feel really hurt and rejected when you criticize how I put the dishes away,
right? It may escalate with some people to the point of saying, you know, I realized I really can't tolerate the criticism. And if I've asked you several times to stop your criticism, that I need that in order to feel like we can have a successful relationship. And if the criticism doesn't stop, then I'm going to have to leave this position, for example, or I'm going to have to do something. But this is really about laying boundaries to protect your energy, right? Remember, we're on a boat and that boat's sinking if this person is constantly weighing it down. And some relationships can't survive. Some relationships do, you know, fade out over time, and that's okay. But you want to be able to talk about that in a very clear way. And you want to talk about the facts only, right? I asked you to, for example, here's an example. I asked you to provide me 15 minutes of every time I came home from work, 15 minutes of me time where I didn't have to, you know, help with the kids or do the laundry or start cooking the meals. And you let me do that for a week, but then then for the last 2 weeks, I haven't been able to do it. And it made me feel really stressed out, right? Then you say, like, this is the fact, and this is how I felt, right? The fact is, okay, right, we agreed on this a couple weeks ago that I would have 15 minutes every time I came in from work to decompress. And it was awesome the first few days that we did that. I felt really good. And then it stopped happening. And you asked me to do XYZ on this day. Then, you know, you asked me to do XYZ on this other time, right? Factual information. And it made me feel really disrespected, or it made me feel really sad because I realized that, you know, this was really hard in our relationship. And I felt really unappreciated. And my request is that, can we please go back to that protected 15-minute time? It will allow for me to be a much better husband, a much better partner, a much better employee, right? You kind of have to say what's in it for them, all right? So you say the fact, right? I asked you to do this. It's been 2 weeks. It didn't happen. And I felt really blank, whatever it was. And my request is blank. You're remembering this kind of sentence from the previous modules. I felt X when you did X, and my request is X, right? Stick to that kind of languaging. It'll go a long way. Okay, so that's the end of this module on toxic relationships, the people that are dragging your boat down and not just letting your boat sink just because you want everybody on it, right? It's being very selective about who's on your boat, and with the people that are the heaviest energetically, the people that are dragging you down mentally, emotionally, spiritually, right? It's about addressing those people head on and working at how to improve those relationships. All right, hope that's given you some great ideas, and we'll see you in the next module, which will give you your weekly challenge.